Hi there. I'm Paul Boger, host of KNPR State of Nevada. Enjoy this conversation from the show. If you like it, please follow us, and thanks. Public art has traditionally been understood as publicly funded art. These days, its definition leans more on accessibility. Southern Nevada is home to countless outdoor art sculptures and murals, an art house inside free facilities like government buildings. Some well-known examples in Southern Nevada are the Snowball in Vegas cat sculpture in downtown, and Swirling Dream Machine near Harry Reid Airport, and of course, Seven Magic Mountains near Jean. Recently, several works have joined their ranks throughout the valley, including a pair of works in Chinatown and Filipino Town. Meanwhile, a law firm has turned a commercial billboard in downtown Las Vegas into a rotating showcase for local artists. KNPR's Mike Pravat spoke about the topic with Psionic Artworks owner Brian Paco Alvarez, artist Luis Fidela Rico, and City of Las Vegas Public Art and Section Manager Laura Aguiar Machado. Here's that conversation.
Laura, Paco, Luis, welcome to the State of Nevada. Thanks for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Paco, I want to begin with you. You are a lifelong Las Vegan. I wonder what you think public art has added to life here in Southern Nevada over the years.
Oh, it's given Vegas a conversation, especially for a community that's not known widely for its art globally. I mean, we look at the Strip, and that's what the world sees, but they don't see the investment in public art. The city of Las Vegas, Clark County, now the city of Henderson, Boulder City, have done a remarkable job in really promoting art through public art. It's been wonderful. What Las Vegas doesn't do well is promote that art globally.
You know, we had a conversation previously. You know, public art goes back a long way in here in Las Vegas. There's one installation that you say might be the most pivotal on the timeline. It's at UNLV. What is it and why is it so important?
There's been a lot of art in this community. I'm a cultural anthropologist, and we know from all the petroglyphs around the valley and in Southern Nevada that we've had thousands of years of art, you know, in the community, especially the Paiutes. We should never forget the Paiutes and their contributions to art. But there is one piece that sticks out the most, and that is The Flashlight by Kuja van Pruijen and Klaus Oldenburg, a dynamic couple who have done remarkable works of art, have really added to the conversation of public art in the United States. And that is the first site-specific public art in the valley that really speaks to who we are as a city. And the idea of that work of art says a lot about what the city wanted to be in the 1970s and where we're at today.
Now, there has been a large handful of public works that have been installed throughout the valley this year alone, many through the city of Las Vegas and also Clark County art recreation programs. There have also been recent additions from private entities. For instance, the sign company Yesco installed a work in downtown Las Vegas a few weeks ago, two works from the Mirage, including the iconic sculpture of Siegfried and Roy, are now on display at the Neon Museum. I should say here that seeing them does require museum admission. All to say, Paco, do you think that this is a golden age for public art?
It's hard to say that because Vegas has had a history of wanting to take the city to the next level when it comes to public art. I mean, the Clark County, Nevada shouldn't be forgotten when they decided to hire the preeminent architect, Frederick de Longchamps, in 1914 to design the first Clark County courthouse. That courthouse lasted till 1960 until Zick and Sharp designed their new courthouse in the same location. And so that's important. Also, Helen Stewart, when she passed away in 1926, she left the state of Nevada a spectacular collection of Paiute baskets, the largest in the world, that the state decided not to take. And unfortunately, it got dispersed all throughout the United States and around the world. I think the State Museum may have a couple of them. And so another big push in the cultural arts we had when the construction of Hoover Dam in 1931 began, we had the works of Oscar Hansen and Alan True. Alan designed all of the interiors, the tile work, which is all inspired by the various Native Americans in the Southwest, such as the Hualapai and Yavapai, and then also the exterior sculptures by Oscar Hansen. So we've had these moments of public art throughout our history, and, you know, especially with the Las Vegas Artists Guild that, you know, they started in 1952. And so we've had moments. But the real push began in the 1970s.
Paco, your company, Psionic Artworks, prioritizes public art and community projects. In fact, I don't think I saw one mention of art for private use or display on your website. Why did you want Psionic to focus on that?
You know, it's interesting. Psionic came about, I had begun curating art prior to Psionic, and more of my time, you know, working in museums at the LVCVA, the wonderful 6 years I spent on the Arts Commission. It was by accident that I was going to do this again because the pandemic really put a stop to my tours and other things I was doing. And then all of a sudden I got a phone call from former city councilman Bob Coffin, and he basically said, hey, look, I have a friend that needs some art on her buildings. She just happened to own the adult superstores in Las Vegas. And next thing you know, we're painting murals all over them. And that really gave me the push to start the company and be serious about it. Since then, it has grown exponentially. We've curated murals across Las Vegas. We've done projects in Washington, D.C., also in Anchorage, Alaska. We do public and private. I was hired last year by Clark County, Nevada, to help curate artwork all throughout Chinatown. So the company's growing, and we're looking international as well.
So is this to say that most of the times you are getting interest from other people saying, hey, we would like you to help us bring us public art? Is there ever an instance where maybe you pitch it to an organization, a business entity on the other end?
Both. So I pitch projects to people, mostly business to business, usually companies that want art. But most importantly, the thing that I'm doing is helping artists apply for their first public art projects. So I have a lot of young artists, up-and-coming artists, emerging artists that reach out to me, and they don't have a portfolio. They don't know how to build a resume. They've never done a public art project. And so I always help them with their first application. Usually it's a ZAP project or an AMP project with the city. I help guide them in that process. I also am helping them guide them in projects with the city of Henderson and the state of Nevada. Through the Nevada Arts Council. So I give them that first push. I don't charge the artist to do that for the first time. And I've had quite a bit of success with the artist actually getting their first application. A lot of it's just sitting with the artist at a computer and building their resume and then going through their phones and going through all the photos of all the artwork they've done, both public and private. And some artists are just painting in alleyways and they reach out and say, hey, I want to get into the public art project. You know, what can I do? And so I'll assist them in that regard.
You know, you mentioned tours earlier that you lead. Yeah. Do you include public art stops in these tours? And if you do, you know, how do you connect those works with how you want to present Las Vegas to these visitors?
I am very proud to say I give a very comprehensive tour of the Arts District in downtown. I'm also, full disclaimer, I'm also vice president of the Arts District Association. So, and thanks to the city and Laura, a lot of the work that I talk about has been commissioned by the city of Las Vegas, especially Luis. Luis has left, I mean, he's got three major works on Main Street.
Back in March, you launched a 10-month initiative with Harrah's Law to get local artist works on a billboard that's on Main Street and Colorado Avenue. This month, the work of artists Nancy Good and J.K. Russ occupy both sides of that billboard. I guess the idea behind this was that Harrah's Law wanted local artists on the billboard and not, say, itself. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, Isaiah Harris and Chad Martinez from the team contacted me and said, hey, we would like to do this initiative. And I said, I'd love to hop on board and help you curate a series of artists to go up there. And it's a very unique approach. I mean, we see so many personal injury attorneys put out their photos, you know, they in a wreck need a check, you know, and Harrah's Law has decided to take on a completely different approach and really engage with the community that they're in.
That's Brian Paco Alvarez, owner of Psionic Artworks Consulting Company, and as he mentioned, a local cultural anthropologist. I want to turn now to Luis Varela Rico. He's an artist with several public art installations all around the valley. Luis, thanks you for speaking with me today.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. What sparked your interest in doing large scale works and public art?
Quite honestly, my mom at some point, she knew I was interested in art, and she works for the county. She's about to actually retire this year in July. But she was like, hey, you know, there's some pretty sizable budgets for sculpture, both with the city and the county, maybe you should consider applying. So that really was a precipice for me getting involved, because probably like most other artists, the process seemed daunting and bureaucratic. So we tend to, you know, steer away from things like that. But once I figured out how to do it, I think I've been doing pretty good with it so far.
Public art, you know, is usually a lot larger than the art that's intended for private and or indoor display. Beyond that, do you go into public artworks with a different mindset and artistic vision than you would, say, a private commission?
Absolutely. Public sculpture is generally prompted by the owner, or, you know, in my case, it's usually the county or the city. So there's always some form of a prompt in terms of aesthetics or even material sometimes. The narrative or the theme of the sculpture. So you're already, there's already some rules set out in front of you there. And then obviously the budgets are another big factor of what ends up happening. A lot of people probably don't think about public art in the way that I get to sometimes, but it is a place for artists to practice their skills and what they think is interesting in a very public way. So it's actually, it's a very vulnerable thing to participate in.
Does it make it difficult to infuse some personal expression into the work when you are working with prompts and limitations and such, or have you found a pretty easy way to do that?
I think everyone deals with that in their own way. I think I struggle with that. I tend to look at things in a very analytical way, and, you know, how is this going to happen? How are we going to deal with physics? I'm going to consider myself an early career artist. I feel like I'm still defining my aesthetic and my voice. I think ultimately the success will come with defining that specific aesthetic that is authored by me only. But coming up through these, creating these large public pieces, it's literally me just learning in real time as the years go by and I get these opportunities. People are getting to watch me grow through my process and you know, sharpen my practice. And I hope at this point I'm starting to kind of finally emerge and have a definitive style. And then once that definitive style has been developed and hopefully people react in a positive way, then maybe the next public art contract, there's fewer constraints in that regard, because people tend to trust you because now you have some big projects under your belt. And then that obviously goes hand in hand with working with private commissions.
Luis, from what I've gathered with your artwork, it would seem that representation is an important part of it. And a lot of your work reflects your Mexican heritage. You also work in cues from other nationalities and other cultures. When you don't have a prompt that addresses that specifically, is that something you still try to make evident in your work?
That's a great question. I think I'm growing into the genesis of all of the ideas really coming from my culture. You know, it could just be a tiny little drop, or it could be very evident. And it dawned on me that that's what my culture does. We're hard workers, and we get a lot of satisfaction from waking up every day and going to work. I'm very fortunate to bring that aspect of my culture into art. And so now I'm trying to develop, and I'm trying to find the words to now install that in every narrative from here on out when it comes to the public art projects or even commission projects. So, and plus, I mean, I'm Mexican. I have such a deep, rich history that I could just tap into, and there's just so much culture in Mexico. So it's like, why wouldn't I use that to my advantage and proudly display it?
Luis, have opportunities to create art for the Las Vegas public been ample of late?
The opportunities are regular between the county and the city. I've carved out a little existence here in the valley pursuing those contracts. I do other things as well. But yeah, I think there's a lot of room, and I'd like to see more artists become involved in the three-dimensional space.
For those artists, can they make a good living out of this, out of making large-scale art pieces?
I think that question deserves a whole nother show, but I think it's doable. I mean, we're talking about, you know, the concepts of like managing a business, and it can get kind of deep, but I think they can. And speaking from experience, you do eventually have to reach out of state. That's kind of the bigger step, because things become exorbitantly expensive once you cross lines. For instance, the engineer I work with, he's only licensed in this state. So if I go to California and get a job there, I have to go develop another relationship with a different engineer, and that could be way more expensive than what I'm currently paying. And it just goes on from there.
Luis, you have a deep technical skill set. This involves things like machinery operation and welding. I wonder if that's played a big part in you getting a lot of the work that you have, because you have these other things in your toolkit, so to speak.
It doesn't hurt in terms of having a viable business, because there's artists, and I'm not throwing shade, but there's artists out there that they design things on say like a napkin or just, you know, something rough, and have a machine shop produce it for them. You know, there's nothing wrong with that, but no, that you could work in clay and never have worked in metal and get awarded a very sizable contract with the city and go and start a relationship with a metal fabricator, and they can bring the project to fruition. So no, the technical ability, I don't think is a make or break thing, but I mean, it definitely helps if you understand the materials that are generally used in public art.
Luis, I got to ask you, what work are you most proud of?
I like Radial Symmetry, which is downtown, but I also have my pivotal piece was Organic Study Number 1, and I was very fortunate that the owner of Public Us, good friend of mine, he purchased it and put it in a coffee shop. That's probably my favorite one, because I think that was the one that kind of solidified the idea that I was really trying to do something serious.
There was a lot of head nodding by your fellow guests when you said both of those works, by the way. Luis, what are you working on right now?
I'm very fortunate. I have three projects. I have one with the county and I have two with the city. The one with the county is going to be it's like a 15 foot tall owl. It's going to go on a playground in the wetlands. I've been working with the city on a really large sculpture that's for the medical district. It's entitled The Healer, and it's a 22 foot tall copper nurse that I'm going to let the copper patina to represent the kind of green scrub color that we're all used to seeing. Kind of like, not a lot of people know this, but the Statue of Liberty is made out of copper, and the reason it's green is because it's just naturally patinaed. So that might help people visualize what that might look like. And then I was recently awarded a project in the Hualapai Canyon Trail up on the west side of town, and that's going to be a giant pine cone.
And that's Luis Varela Rico. He's a local artist with several public and community art installations in Southern Nevada. And now I want to include Laura Machado in the conversation. She's a public art and section manager for the city of Las Vegas. Laura, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. How important is public art to the city's art program?
It's fundamental. We have the Arts Commission. They were founded in about 1987 to really focus on public art. That commission is appointed by city council and the mayor, and their sole purpose is to advocate for public art projects.
Do you want these works to ultimately say something about Las Vegas or even just reflect it in some way?
You know, I'm really connected to what it says about the artist. My very first project working with the city was actually with Luis on Radial Symmetry, and I thought it was such a beautiful project. It's connected to this place, but it's also connected to the work that he was making. And so I think it can do both. And really, ultimately, I want it to be an expression of the artist's creation, because that's what really makes art interesting.
It sounds like you give the artists maybe a little bit more leeway than others might, so they might bring that expression out.
We definitely do. Like Luis had mentioned, there are typically prompts. So we'll put out a call requesting qualifications, and then we'll have an evaluation panel that goes through all of those qualifications, and they'll select three or four artists to create proposals. And in that proposal, we're going to mention, you know, like Luis had mentioned, he's working on a project for the medical district. So we'll say we want the design to kind of touch these few points. It's going to be in the medical district. We want there to be a connection with that kind of work. But then the design ultimately is created by the artist. Within that framework, there can be kind of a discovery. But ultimately, you know, we want the artist to use their artistic voice and create something that speaks to them and also the project.
Have you ever been able to identify what most draws you in as far as an artist's work and who you ultimately decide to pick?
So the city uses an evaluation panel for all of our projects. We have 5 to 7 people. We'll have an arts commissioner. We'll have an artist. We'll have city staff. We'll have community stakeholders. And then they're the ones that are reviewing all of the submissions. There's a public meeting that the artists will present their design proposal. And then after that public meeting, the evaluation panel will review them in a closed-door meeting and select which project best aligns with the goals of the public art initiative. So there's a lot of, you know, I would say reliance on the community to tell us what they want to see. And the Arts Commission is really integral in making those kinds of initiatives happen.
From, say, prompt to the unveiling of the art, what's the average amount of time that that all takes?
Oh, gosh, it varies. We just recently worked with David Ryan, who is an amazing local artist, and that project was just very smooth, streamlined. He worked with the fabricator Yesco. So from the contract award to the actual dedication was under a year, which is pretty fast for the city standards. So it can be a year or it could be 5 years. When we have these street enhancement projects, so we know that we can't install the artwork until the street is complete. That can put some delay on it. So it can be anywhere from, if it's a mural, it can be 6 months. If it's a street project, it could be up to 5 years.
The city's most recent public art unveiling, Harmonic Ascension, that's at the Civic Center Outdoor Plaza. This was done by Cliff Garden Studio, and they're based in Los Angeles. What might be the circumstances that require going outside of Nevada for an artist?
When the Civic Center building was in the design phase, they knew that we wanted to have a central signature sculpture in the center of the plaza. So it was a national search for artists, and we had over 120 artists respond. And then from that, the evaluation selected 10 artists to create proposals. And then those proposals were presented to the evaluation panel. And ultimately, there were a lot of meetings that happened for that specific piece. So we went to the employees for a survey and said, here are the designs. Tell us which piece that you think best fits in this area. And then we went to the community and had a survey as well and asked the same. And then we sent it to the arts commissioners and city council. Ultimately, Cliff's design was selected by all of those surveys as the top choice, and he was selected for the project. And I want to say, just like Paco and Luis mentioned, we want our artists that are based in Las Vegas to go out into other cities and receive commissions. And we also have to be open to accepting artists nationally or internationally for projects here. I think a project that I really loved and I think is a gorgeous mural is on the East Las Vegas Community Center. And we worked with an artist based in Mexico, and it's just beautiful, phenomenal. So I think there's a time and space to work with artists from, you know, across the world.
How do you go about finding new locations for these artworks?
I think that the city identifies capital improvement projects. They work on these kinds of projects for years in advance. So we know that a new building is going to come online, or a facility, or a new park. For example, the Oki Dog Park that's on Oki and Rancho. They came to the Arts Commission and said, we would really love to have a sculpture in this new dog park. So we asked the Arts Commission for funding, allocated money, and then ultimately we will have a sculpture dedicated at the end of this year in that park.
So how much does the city allot for public art in its budget?
It varies. So every year there's a transfer into the capital improvement project budget, or fund, I should say, and it's 1% of that general fund budget. This past year it was just under $400,000, but it varies. When the capital improvement project fund is more robust, we'll have a larger transfer. 1 year we had $1 million. And then on the reverse side, when things aren't as robust, it can be as low as $30,000. So there's a wide variety. Luckily, back in the early 2000s, our former mayor, Oscar Goodman, allocated the percent for the arts program. So that's 1% towards the arts. And we're really thankful for that ordinance.
And I should say that budget also involves the upkeep of these works. What is involved with protecting and maintaining them?
We allocate right now $80,000 just to go towards the collection, maintenance, and restoration. And that could be, for example, for Radial Cemetery, we try to annually or every other year clean and protect the stainless steel to make sure that there's no rust or corrosion and make sure that it's looking its best. We have a lot of sculpture that needs annual maintenance because when they're in a park, there may be birds or graffiti. So we're constantly taking care of those kinds of issues. We work with conservation and maintenance companies, local companies who actually go out and paint and take care and restore all of our murals. And we want to make sure that we're doing our best job in protecting it. So all of the ant boxes and the murals have a UV coating, anti-graffiti coating, so that it's a little bit easier to maintain.
Laura, how do you want the city's public art program to evolve and grow from here?
In 2024, the city worked with a company to create a public art master plan, and it built on what we had already done. We met with city council, we met with our arts commissioners, and we also had community meetings, and they really told us what they wanted to see. And a lot of it in those surveys was a response to, we want these pieces to be reflective of the community, in response to the community. There was a large push to have it kind of connected to nature, telling the story of Las Vegas and the neighborhoods that these pieces were in place of. So for me, I would love to see public art in every building project. I think when you get artists involved early on in the design concept, the work is just elevated. There's a sense of added sense of creativity and humanity, something that's so specific to humans. We create art and we tell that story. And so you go into a building that can feel very bare, and then you fill it with artwork and it feels like people live here. I must say, we have a really wonderful team of full-time public art and gallery technicians that I'm really lucky to work with, and we're all really excited about the work that the city's doing.
We've been speaking to Laura Aguiar Machado of the City of Las Vegas, artist Luis Varela Rico, and Brian Paco Alvarez of Psionic Artworks. Everyone, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.